Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This program is the second in our special anniversary series celebrating the Eternal Light's 5 years on the air. Today we present an original fantasy written by Morton Wishengrad, entitled How They Knocked the Devil Out of Uncle Ezra, starring Ezra Stone.
In the town of Dalid, which lies adjacent to the town of Gimel in the province of Aleph Beis, there was born many years ago a rather unusual child. His facial features were quite ordinary, his body structure was average, and his family was altogether commonplace. And so, wherein, you will ask, was he unusual? He was a seventh son. But you smile, there have been millions of seventh sons. Very true, but none like this boy Ezra. For each of his six older brothers, and for that matter, each of his seven sisters, was at least 20 years his senior. In short, Ezra was a rather remarkable product of old age.
Father, do you think your grandchildren can see the baby?
I see no objection. Let them all come in on tiptoe and take a look at their Uncle Ezra.
This was Ezra's chief distinction. At birth, he was already 21 times an uncle. And some years later, visitors to the town of Dalid would rub their eyes when a grown man passing a small boy would stop for a moment and say,
Good morning, Uncle Ezra. Here are some marbles for you. By the way, my wedding is this Sunday. It would be a personal favor, Uncle Ezra, if you washed your face for the occasion.
Not long after, Uncle Ezra acquired two other distinctions. The first of these was an accumulation of superstitions, amulets, and incantations incredible in the young adolescent.
Ni hori ni hori ni bori ni kori. Say it twice and spit three times. It drives out bad luck.
The second of these latter distinctions was a slyness that had something demonic in it.
Good morning.
Good morning, Reb Isaac Aaron.
Uncle Ezra didn't come to school for his Talmud lesson yesterday, so I thought I'd stop by.
Ezra says he's sick.
Students are occasionally sick when they have to study. Do you think I could see him?
It won't do any good, but you'll find him in there.
It never hurts to try.
Oh, my stomach. Oh.
Try a little more tremolo. Like this. Oh.
For a teacher, Reb Isaac Aaron, you have very little faith in human beings.
I have a good deal of faith in human beings, but very little faith in your stomach ache.
It's a terrible stomach ache.
Do you mind if I sit on your bed?
Make yourself at home.
Thank you. Uncle Ezra, just man to man, how do you manage to get away with it?
Man to man?
You have my word.
At the beginning, I used to say I had a headache.
It worked, didn't it?
Only the first 10 times. Then they began to get suspicious. My sisters insisted on feeling my head to see if it was hot.
I follow your line of reasoning.
I thought you'd get around to it, Reb Isaac Aaron.
When your head isn't hot, they send you to school, don't they? But if you complain of a stomach ache...
Then they've got to believe me because they can't prove it. Oh!
Very nice, but that'll do. Uncle Ezra, Doesn't your conscience trouble you?
No. That's surprising, isn't it? It did at first, but it doesn't anymore.
Uncle Ezra, just because you're my friend, I'll tell you something. You're a challenge to me.
Me? That's silly. At first, I waited for God to punish me, but he didn't. He probably didn't even care. And Reb Isaac Aaron, if God doesn't care if I don't go to school, why should you?
Because you'll grow up to be an ignoramus. In a world like ours, it's a sin to be ignorant.
I like to be ignorant. There's more fun that way.
Oh, no. Uncle Ezra, you and I are going to have that out. Uncle Ezra, I'm going to fight you. In a friendly way, of course.
You can't win, Reb Isaac Aaron.
I'm very glad you were able to stay to supper, Reb Isaac Aaron.
So am I. For a boy with a stomach ache, Uncle Ezra did rather well, don't you think?
Yes, yeah, so he did.
May I make a suggestion?
Of course.
I noticed we're to have cake for dessert. Looks rather rich, perhaps a bit too rich for a boy just over a stomach ache.
Well, that's a sensible suggestion. Ezra, you'll have a dish of prunes for dessert.
Father, I want cake.
It isn't good for you. You'll have prunes.
Reb Isaac?
Yes, Uncle Ezra.
A very good try, but you can't win. Listen. Blessed art thou, O Lord, our King, God of the universe, who provides cakes and sweetmeats. Amen.
Ezra, I never heard that prayer before.
It's a blessing for cake. I just made it up. And if you'll be good enough to pass the cake, Reb Isaac Aaron, I believe I'll have some.
If I don't pass the cake, Uncle Ezra?
You will have suffered me to recite a blessing in vain, which is an offense.
I see. Ignorance has its own logic and its own ritual. We'll let you win, Uncle Ezra. Eat your cake.
And so, without anyone being aware of it, there was a conflict in the town of Dalid between Uncle Ezra and Reb Isaac Aaron. It was the boy versus the man, and the issue went far beyond the town of Dalid in the province of Aleph Beis. And what was the issue? Very simple. In me, in you, in every human being, there is a little Uncle Ezra and a little of Reb Isaac Aaron, and much depends on which becomes the victor. You understand me? I know, it is a riddle, and it is a paradox. Let's be patient and see what happened when Uncle Ezra went his carefree way.
Don't forget, Uncle Ezra, the wedding's on Sunday.
Well, I'll be there, nephew. I'll be there if for no other reason than to see you assert the supremacy of all males.
You feel well, Uncle Ezra?
I feel fine, nephew.
Well, you talk crazy. What's this business about male supremacy?
Don't you know?
What am I supposed to know?
When you and the bride are both standing under the canopy and the cantor sings and the rabbi is about to pronounce the benediction, she's going to try to step on your foot.
You're really crazy. Why should my future wife try to step on my foot just before the benediction?
Because if she does, it'll mean that she will rule you. But if you step on her foot first, it means that you will rule her.
How do you know all this?
Never mind how I know.
Oh, it's superstitious nonsense. I'll have no part of it. I'm not that gullible.
Suit yourself, nephew. Blood is thicker than water, and I thought I'd warn you. If she steps on your foot first, I'm not the one who's going to be dominated. Well, you're probably right anyway. It is just a lot of nonsense.
Uncle Ezra, he wouldn't do a thing like that.
How do you know?
Because he loves me as much as I love him.
You're very beautiful, Naomi. I'm sorry I spoke. Forget it.
Uncle Ezra, are you sure he plans to step on my foot while we stand under the bridal canopy?
Forget it, Naomi. It isn't really important.
So he really thinks he can dominate me for the rest of my life.
I shouldn't have brought it up, Naomi. Don't put any stock in those old wives' tales.
You believe in it, Uncle Ezra, don't you?
I'm just a boy. I'll grow out of it.
You're sweet. Uncle Ezra, I want to give you a kiss.
I don't deserve it, Naomi.
You do, Uncle Ezra. You really do. So he thinks he's going to dominate me, does he?
The bridegroom will place the ring upon the forefinger of the bride's right hand. Am I talking to myself? I said the bridegroom will now place the ring upon the forefinger of the...
You missed, Naomi. It's my turn now.
No, you don't.
What is this, a wedding or a foot race? Children, stop before you cripple one another. Stop that.
Reb Isaac Aaron, they're silly, aren't they?
Of course, it's only a foolish superstition.
That's exactly what I told them, Reb Isaac Aaron, in exactly those words.
It is not recorded what Reb Isaac Aaron replied, but the scholar and teacher of the town of Dalid had lost the second encounter to Uncle Ezra. For truth requires knowledge to nourish it, while ignorance feeds handsomely upon itself. From that moment on, there was neither bride nor bridegroom in the town of Dalid who did not approach the marriage ceremony except with misgiving and trepidation. The first prerequisite for marriage became a limber ankle, a quick instep, and a determination to step first and to step hard. This was the beginning of the ascendancy of Uncle Ezra.
If you've had a bad dream during the night, spit three times when you wake up.
People of Dalid, stop spitting. Don't listen to the boy.
Never step across a child or he won't grow.
You're not going to believe that, are you?
I don't exactly believe it, but there's no sense in taking chances, is there?
If your right eye itches, you'll be happy. If your left eye itches, you'll cry before the day is out.
Nonsense. Pay no attention. If either eye itches, wash it with boric acid or go to the doctor.
Knock on wood. 13's unlucky. Never start a journey on a Monday. Spit three times. Knee hurry, knee hurry, knee bori, knee cori.
Boy, you're a pagan.
I believe in the same God as you do, Isaac Aaron.
You believe in many gods, gods of luck and misfortune. Uncle Ezra, you're an idolater.
You've lost, Reb Isaac Aaron. If I had lost, I'd call you no names.
Thou shalt be wholehearted with the Lord thy God. That's a commandment.
These people have listened to you. They are no longer wholehearted with the Lord.
Yes, they are. They pray for luck.
That's infamous.
What should they pray for?
For kindness, for justice, for peace. Uncle Ezra, do you worship luck? Or do you worship God?
He didn't answer. Uncle Ezra couldn't answer. He smiled, and his smile said nothing. Isaac Aaron studied him, and there was a look in the scholar's eye that had not been there before.
Uncle Ezra, I wouldn't be surprised if Satan himself is in you.
A rather odd thing for a scholar to say. But the thing seemed to be confirmed by a new commercial enterprise entered into by Uncle Ezra.
I cash sins. I buy sins. Little sins, medium sins, offenses, errors, faults, violations, small transgressions. I cash sins.
It seems a peasant had told Uncle Ezra that it was possible for a boy to acquire another boy's sin without injury to his soul while acquiring a little profit in the transaction.
I built a bonfire on the Sabbath. I didn't really mean to, but it's a sin. How much do you charge, Uncle Ezra?
Seeing it's you, Mordecai, three apples, and that watch your cousin Michael broke on Hanukkah.
You're not afraid to buy my sin?
I'm not afraid. I'll have the three apples and the watch, won't I?
Here, one, two, three apples and the watch. Well, the sin is off my conscience.
And it's on mine.
Why don't you shiver?
What for?
Satan made me sin, and I've sold you the sin.
What about it?
Uncle Ezra. Uncle Ezra, how do you know that Satan himself isn't part of the bargain? How do you know that Satan himself is not in you at this moment?
Uncle Ezra pondered the idea and ate the apples. But somehow the commercial venture proceeded badly. The townspeople of Dalid seemed eager enough to sell their sins, but at the same time they seemed badly disposed to the buyer. And because he began to be troubled by heads that were lowered and eyes that were averted, Uncle Ezra began to reconsider matters. It was that peculiar dissatisfaction bred thought, and thought led to reflection, and reflection led him to Reb Isaac Aaron.
I think I'd like to go back to school again.
The only difficulty was that the townspeople of Dalid refused to unlearn the superstitions of Uncle Ezra.
Nihori, nihori, niburi, nikori. Say it twice and spit three times. It will keep away the evil eye.
I'll tell you something. Maybe there isn't an evil eye. Not really.
He's a liar. He says that because Satan is in him. He's trying to trap us. Get away, Satan. Get away.
And Reb Isaac Aaron stood nearby and smiled bitterly. And it wasn't long after that that things began to happen in the town of Dalid.
May all the matriarchs of Israel blind my eyes.
Naomi, stop cursing yourself. What's wrong?
Taste this fish.
I'll have it for supper. I can wait.
Taste it now.
Don't raise your voice, Naomi. I'll taste it. Ugh, the fish is sour.
Now taste this horseradish I just made. Taste it. Mm. Well?
That's impossible. Naomi, the fish is sour and the horseradish is sweet. It's impossible.
No, not impossible when Satan is around. Where's Uncle Ezra?
Quiet! Everyone, quiet! Benjamin is going to blow this ram's horn and show us how it's going to sound on Rosh Hashanah. Are you ready, Benjamin? All right, go on, blow it. Benjamin, what's the matter?
I don't know. This never happened before.
And you, the most celebrated virtuoso on the ram's horn or not?
The best in the entire province of Olive Base.
Even if you have to say so yourself. Then blow, Benjamin. Sound the shofar. Make room, everyone. There he blows. Stop before your eyes pop out. Stop, Benjamin.
It can't happen to me. I'm disgraced.
No, you're not disgraced.
No.
I know why you can't get any sound out of the ram's horn.
You do?
Something is in it.
What?
Satan, Benjamin. Satan is in the ram's horn holding back the holy sound. Get a broomstick. We're going to find Uncle Ezra.
Blame it on Uncle Ezra. Blame it on Satan. I don't care. This festival of Sukkot, I do not sing in the synagogue.
But you can't refuse. You're the cantor of Dalid.
I do not sing.
You've got to sing. The holiday won't be the same.
You're right. The holiday won't be the same.
Well, thank God you've seen some reason.
But I don't sing. Not a note.
People will demand an explanation.
I'll tell them. Who am I, I'll ask. The cantor of Dalid, they'll answer. In what do I sing, I'll ask. In the tallest and whitest skull caper in the entire province of Olive Bays, they'll answer. And what is on the tallest and whitest skull cap in the entire province of Olive Base? A beautiful white tassel, they'll say. And where is the white tassel now? Uncle Ezra took it. Satan took it. No white tassel, no singing. I'm not in competition with Satan. Not a single note.
What
What's puzzling you, Mordecai?
Reb Isaac Aaron, is this the day before the Feast of Tabernacle, or isn't it?
It is.
And am I supposed to bring home this citron and this palm branch?
You are. The esrog and the lulav. That's the tradition.
And tomorrow, do I shake this palm branch?
Just as your forefathers did.
No, I won't.
Why not, Mordecai?
Because the lulav won't shake. I've shaken it and shaken it. It's spoiled. Satan's gotten into it. Uncle Ezra, you're wicked. You're wicked. I want my three apples back.
Reb Isaac Aaron, this is the last straw.
What is, Sarah Leah?
Is this flour?
It looks like it.
And is this an egg?
A respectable egg from a respectable, peace-loving hen.
And is this yeast? Is this oil? Is this salt? Is this sugar?
Without a question, but calm yourself.
I'll have apoplexy before the day is over. I took ingredients just like this. I made this dough. The same dough to make the same twist that I bake each Sabbath and holiday except Passover. My mother baked her twist that way. My mother's mother baked her twist that way. It was a twist! Here's the dough. I twist it.
Sarah Lee, it's twisted very nicely.
Wait. May 16,000 black plagues never take Uncle Ezra between the eyes. Just wait.
Still twisted.
May the color never loosen his back teeth. Keep looking.
I don't see a thing, Sarah Lee.
Look now. Matriarchs of Israel, did you see? The twist untwisted. Satan has crawled into my dough. Get Uncle Ezra.
With pitchforks, broom handles, sticks, kitchen knives, the townspeople of Dalit in the province of Aleph Base began to march.
Get the sweet horseradish, Naomi.
Naomi marched with the sour fish and the sweet horseradish. The cantor marched without his white tassel. Sarah Leah marched with the twistless twist. Benjamin, the virtuoso on the ram's horn, marched with the useless chauffeur to his lips. The boy Mordecai marched with the unshakable palm branch. They marched with grimness.
We're going to find him.
And when we find him, it's going to be just too bad.
Gentlemen, what do you propose to do?
Nothing. Not a thing. All we're going to do is knock the devil out of Uncle Ezra. Yeah.
They found Uncle Ezra cowering in a small tree beside a little stream.
Throw him in!
Good, good. I know the way to get the devil out of him. Immerse him underwater three times and take him out only twice.
Yes, good.
Quiet, you fools! I said quiet! Pull him out. You want him to drown? I said pull him out!
Rabbi Aaron! Satan is in.
He made a bargain. I was there.
Fools! Superstitious fools! Bring him here.
Here's my coat, Uncle Ezra. Throw it around you.
Thank you, Reb Isaac Aaron.
Look at yourselves, all of you. There's hate in your eyes. Your lips are thin and bloodless. People of Dalit, look what's happened to you. You fools! You've sacrificed your own divinity through your ignorance. What kind of a world is this where stupidity and superstition unite men more than knowledge and learning?
Satan is in him.
You're an imbecile.
We've got to find a way to knock it out of him.
You're the chief imbecile. Be still, all of you. I'm a man of faith, do you hear? And I've tried to be a man of knowledge. I've tried to teach your children, but you let your children teach you. Listen to me. Religion is not superstition. I deny that true religion can proceed from ignorance, because life will not tolerate ignorance. When faith is born of ignorance, faith is superstition. Now go home and be ashamed of yourselves.
Reb Isaac, if what you say is true, then who made my fish sour and my horseradish sweet?
Not Satan, Naomi.
Then who took my tassel?
I did.
Reb Isaac Aaron, do you realize what you're saying?
I realize it. Do you? All right, I'll tell you. Naomi, when sugar is put into horseradish, horseradish becomes sweet. I put the sugar in. And I substituted rotten fish for fresh fish.
Why didn't my chauffeur blow?
Because when a rag is stuffed into a ram's horn, no chauffeur will blow.
But my untwistable twist, that was Satan's work.
My work, Sarah Leah. Feel the dough. There's a fine steel rod in it. I put it there.
Reb Isaac Aaron, you did all this because of me, didn't you?
Yes, Uncle Ezra. Because we're all men and women. We have minds. Our eyes are in front of us, not behind us.
Let's go home, Reb Isaac Aaron.
All right, Uncle Ezra. Take my hand.
No. No, Reb Isaac Aaron. You lead. I'll try to follow.
Oh, God bless you, Uncle Ezra. You sneezed. That's a sign that everything Reb Isaac Aaron said is true.
No, Sarah Leah. That's pure superstition. I sneeze because I think I caught a cold in my head from being thrown in the river.
And of course, that was true. It was true in the town of Dalid, near the city of Gimel in the province of Aleph Beis. It is true now. It will always be true. The conflict is perpetual. Knowledge or ignorance, man or boy, Reb Isaac Aaron or Uncle Ezra. Turn to the book of Proverbs, the second chapter. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and justice and equity. For wisdom shall enter into thy heart, and knowledge shall be pleasant unto thy soul.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. Our Eternal Light drama today was an original fantasy entitled How They Knocked the Devil Out of Uncle Ezra, written by Morton Wishengrad. The music was composed and conducted by Morris Momorsky. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Ezra Stone was starred as Uncle Ezra. Reb Isaac Aaron was played by Roger DeCoven. Alexander Scorby was the narrator. The production was under the direction of Frank Papp. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. The program appears under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.